All right, turn to the book of James tonight. The book of James, and we're going to be in chapter 3. James chapter 3. It's good to see some young people here tonight. And tonight we're going to be looking at the tongue. And I think everybody knows what the tongue is, and everybody knows what the tongue does, right? Tastes food. How about it? Well, it does that, but it also, as we'll see tonight, it is a very, very powerful part of our body. And we're going to see how James, the writer of this book, issues some warnings to us, the readers of this letter, concerning what we say, concerning our words. Now let's remember the context. He's writing to Jewish believers who have been scattered abroad because of persecution. And he has just finished a passage on faith without works is dead. And what we have is what you say, yeah, that's great. But what really matters is who you are, what you do, the way you live. Anybody can say anything. I can say I have faith. But James says, show me your faith by your works, by the things that you do. And, you know, that's one of the biggest outcries against Christianity, at least that I have found, is this whole cry of hypocrisy. You say you are this. You say you are a Christian, you go to church, and you do all of these good things. But I don't see that in your life. I don't hear that in what you say. And so James, now coming off of that faith without works is dead, is now going to zero in on the tongue that so prevalently will say things and speak things, but yet is it truth? Does it describe who we are? Is it good? Is it helpful? James chapter 3 and verse 1, follow along. I'm going to read down to verse 12. And I want you to just pay attention to the warnings that he is giving tonight in this passage. James chapter 3, verse 1. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold, also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beasts and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude or likeness of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Does a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. All right, so we read this passage and we get the idea that James wants to talk and confront us about the tongue, about our words, about what comes out of us. And we know that Jesus declared that what comes out of a man, out of his mouth, describes what is in his heart. And we see several warnings here in this passage. And tonight we'd like to look at those specific warnings. Before we do that, I want you to take note of the first two words of this chapter. My brethren. My brethren. You're going to see that at least two other times in these 12 verses. One at the beginning here, and then you have two in verse 10, and then in verse 12. When you see this word, these two words, my brethren, remember James loves and cares for the people he's talking to. He cares about them. He says, my brethren, my loved ones, my fellow believers. He cares about them. And he cares about them so much so to speak to them with great courage and with great clarity, this is the way God wants you to live. Exemplify your faith by good works. Watch how you use your tongue. First warning we see just in verse 1, and that is the warning concerning the use of the tongue for instruction. What do we see here? We see, my brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. This word masters, master, didaskalos, is based upon a word that means to teach. Jesus was called master. He was called teacher. And this word speaks of a teacher that communicates with his mouth the truth or the lessons or whatever needed to be taught. Master didn't have to refer just to Jesus. It could refer to anyone who is a teacher. And so the warning here, as James is speaking here, be not many teachers, knowing that we... And here James is including himself in this realm of teachers. We shall receive the greater condemnation. Now, what does that mean? The greater condemnation. Well, from this passage, it seems to me that the tongue God desires to use as a tool to instruct people of his ways. He does that, and he's given the church teachers. We know that from Ephesians chapter 4. He gave to the church pastors and teachers. And teachers communicate using their mouths the truth of God's word. Now, James here is hitting down to the core something that gets at all of us. We like, or at least a lot of us, we enjoy to be the one who is the teacher. When the kids play, and they play school, if you have any fights or bickering at all, it's usually over the one who gets to be the teacher. I mean, everybody's the student, all the time the student, but hey, I want to be the teacher. You know what? We do that as adults sometimes too. I mean, that can happen. That can happen in the church, where we can battle it out as far as who's going to be the teachers. And James reminds us of something here. Yes, God gives to the church teachers, and God has given us tongues to be used to teach His Word. And it's very good reason here that God has given us His Word in writing. All right? And let's also remember something that James was dealing with. Because back in those days, there were not Bibles in every pew. I dare say there probably weren't Bibles, and when I say Bibles, the Old Testament, there probably wasn't very many Old Testaments in people's homes. They would go to the synagogue, and they would sit there, and what would they do? They would listen to people read the Bible, read the Old Testament in James's case, and then they would be taught. It was a very oral society. Now, we have a lot given to us in writing. We have yet, though, still a lot that comes through the airwaves, whether it be person to person, radio, internet, whatever it might be, communication using the tongue. But the lesson here, the warning that James is giving, is listen, folks, listen. To be a master, to be a teacher, is a role or a position that brings with it, that comes with incredible responsibility. You will receive greater than those who are not teachers, judgment, greater scrutiny of the things that you say. This confronts me in the face every time I have a chance to speak. And I trust that this, if you are a teacher here tonight, or if you desire to be a teacher, and let's just say that you may not be a teacher in a church, but you could be a teacher in school, whatever the case might be, you're held responsible for the things that you communicate, for the things that you say. And that's what's coming across here in this warning. The tongue is used for instruction. And those that use it for instruction, they had better be careful. They have got to watch what they say. Because listen, the people that hear us teach, they're sitting before us most likely because they want to learn. They're ready to learn, and so they will take in the things that are said. Now, obviously, when I preach, I encourage folks to look at their own Bibles, to study these things for themselves as well. But there are many that don't, and they just take your word for it. Wow. They just take your word for it? Let that be a warning. The tongue is a tool used for instruction. The warning, be careful. Don't everybody jump in line to be teachers. Make sure that you realize the responsibility that comes with that role. So, that's how he introduces this passage on the tongue. Perhaps at this time he was hearing rumblings from the churches abroad, from the people gathering in all these different cities, that there was battles going on over who was going to teach. He's seeking to clear up here those battles and reminding folks it's a huge responsibility. All right, so that's the first warning. The tongue is used for instruction, and it is scrutinized. The teacher is scrutinized by God. Let's look now at verse 2, where we see, "For in many things we offend all." Other translations will say it this way, "For we all stumble in many ways." I appreciate James here because as he goes down through this passage, he's very human. He understands the human frailty. He understands that we as people, we will make mistakes. We do fail. We're not perfect. And here he says, for in many things we all stumble in many ways. And that's true. That is true. He makes the statement then, if any man offend or stumble not in word, the same is a perfect man. So what's he saying? He's saying here that the tongue is such a powerful part of the body that you will be hard-pressed to find someone who never slips at all in using their tongue. You know, it's my heart and my prayer as I preach that I always preach the truth and always preach doctrine. But you know what? I've had some of you come up to me and say, hey, what you said here, you know, and you did this lovingly, respectfully, but, you know, it didn't quite make sense, or maybe this wasn't the best use, or wrong word choice. And, you know, those kinds of things happen. You're not going to find a perfect preacher, perfect speaker. As much as we as preachers long for that and desire to be that, we're not there. For in many ways, if any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, that is complete man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Here's the connection. The tongue has a direct connection, according to what James is saying here. The tongue and the whole body and what happens are directly connected. If you are able, he's saying, to control and bridle your tongue, then you will also see someone who is able to control their whole body. So here's the warning. Here's the warning. The tongue is difficult to control. Is that a new lesson to anybody? Anybody not struggle in controlling their tongue? The tongue is difficult to control. Look on here. We're going to see some illustrations, at least three illustrations here tonight, of the tongue and of how difficult it is to control. If you want to look at the other side, the tongue is powerful. Watch out. The tongue is powerful. Watch out. Look at the three illustrations. And James is helpful. He introduces each illustration with this word, behold. That word, behold, is a word, pay attention. Okay? Listen up. If you've ever been, I remember in college, there was a speaker, a preacher that would preach frequently in our school, and he was known across the campus for his attention-getting voice. He would go like this at the microphone. Listen up! And he would snap, and he would clap. James here says, listen up, behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths. This is verse 3. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey, that may obey us. And we turn about their whole bodies. How many of you have ridden a horse? Okay, how many of you have ridden a horse that has not been led by anybody? You are the only one controlling the horse. Okay, all right. Now you know that a horse is much larger than you. And you know that as you're sitting on that horse, if you don't know what you're doing, if you are an inexperienced rider, you kind of feel a little helpless. All you're doing is sitting upon a big animal that could throw you off in a split second. And the person that puts you on that horse, they just give you these two little straps. And they tell you to hold on to them. And they tell you to, when you want to stop your horse, you just pull him back nice and gentle, and the horse should stop. When you want to turn, you put a little bit more pressure on one side of the head or on the other, using and pulling the reins. Horses, something that was around in James's time and day in the cities, I'm sure the Romans used them often. Very clear illustration of something small, the bit. And the bit is that metal bar that goes in the mouth. It's connected to the bridle. And the reins connect directly to the bit. Those reins go back to your hands, and as you seek to control the horse, it feels everything you do right there in its mouth. And you can control a horse simply by the bit and using that bit. I know I had one, a wild Mustang. And he was wild even after we thought we trained him. And there were days when he got in his head, he wanted to do his own thing. And what would I do? I would take the reins, and I would pull his head around. And if he wanted to keep going in circles, he would just keep going in circles until he was done and tired and realized I was in control. Well, yes, the tongue is powerful. Watch out. James says we can control a horse with the bit, that they obey us. We can turn their whole bodies with it. Second illustration, verse 4. Behold, also the ships, which though they be so great, and are driven of fierce winds. Now this illustration, by the way, adds it's adding an element. We're talking about something large, okay? Horse, ship. Okay, we're getting bigger, but now we're adding the element that a ship and its sails are subject to fierce winds. So we have the winds and the sails feeling the wind. They're driven about, yet they are turned with a very small helm or rudder. And it goes wherever that captain wants it to go. It's a pretty amazing thing, isn't it? You're riding in a boat, and that boat turns because there's a small little piece on the back of the boat that the captain can turn that wheel, and it turns the rudder, and that boat, it turns. Notice what he's illustrating here. The bit compares to the tongue. The horse, the whole body, your whole body. The ship, your body. The rudder, the tongue. Notice the tongue is powerful. Watch out. It's powerful because it's controlling. Because it's controlling. Verse 5, even so, the tongue is a little member. And by the way, that word little, micros. We know about micro, right? Small, anything, to any time you think of micro, it's speaking of something small. Well, the tongue is just a small piece of your body. I think we all realize that. But it says here, it boasts of great things. You know, you kind of feel bad, right, for your ears. Your ears can't say anything. Boy, are they helpful. Boy, can they do a lot. But they can't say anything. Your eyes, boy, they open up a whole world to you. But again, they say very little. The tongue, it's just a small little part of your body. But it, as we're going to see, can tear down a whole world. It can burn a whole forest. The third illustration is that of a fire. What do we see here? The tongue boasts of great things. Middle verse 5. Behold how great a matter. That word matter is actually a word for forest. How great a forest a little fire kindleth. I mean, you guys have been camping, right? You know the rules. When you light a campfire, you put your campfire out when you're done. And we've heard the stories of people that haven't done that. They walk away, and then a day later, the forest is on fire. It's just a small little thing. But yet, it can cause incredible harm. It can destroy. So the tongue is powerful. Watch out. It is controlling. The tongue is powerful. Watch out. Because it can be destructive. The tongue, verse 6, it's a fire. A world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth or stains the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature and is set on fire by hell. Man, James, what are you saying here? Being pretty tough on the tongue. Well, think about it. Think about all the times that Paul warns Timothy and Titus. He warns them, teach sound doctrine, avoid frivolous questions, joking. Time and time again, there are warnings of the tongue. And church, let's face it, a lot of our problems that we experience in life or in the church or in our families find their direct root in something that is said. Something that comes out of here, the mouth. You know, it's just a little thing. It's just a little part of your body. But the point James is trying to make, and he is driving this home over and over and over again. Watch out. It is powerful. It's controlling. It's destructive. Verse 7. For every kind of beasts and of birds and of serpents and of the things in the sea, they're tamed. And they hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. James, what are you saying? Are you saying we can't help it? We can't help ourselves? Well, I want you to notice here that what he is saying is the tongue can know, what's that word? Know, what's the next one? Man tame. You know, it's interesting to, if you talk with folks that do not know the Lord in your workplace or wherever, and you work around them, and they get to know you, get to know that you're a believer. What's one of the things that they'll often do when they come around you? I'll try not to say that kind of thing. I'll try not to swear around you. You know, I'll respect you. And it's interesting the effort that they put in to try to control their tongue. And inevitably, we still hear it anyway. And then what happens in your life, in my life, when we have trusted Jesus Christ and our lives have changed, you know, It's an amazing thing when we allow God to control our lives, what happens. Yeah, no man can tame the tongue. You can't tame your own tongue. But I will tell you that if you have trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, the very fact that God's Spirit lives and dwells within you brings to the forefront the power of God in your favor to help guard your tongue. And you are then able to experience a tongue that is tamed. Not all the time, not perfectly, but a tongue that is tamed by God. We're going to wrap up our time together tonight. We'll finish this passage in our next time together. But I trust you'll think about your tongue this week. Think about the things that you say. Yeah, James just got done talking about faith without works is dead. You know, what I say, you can say anything you want, but your faith is shown by your works, by what you do. Well, one of those works is the way you use your tongue. So let's remember, the tongue, it will bring about what you say. It's powerful, it's very controlling, and it's very destructive. Heed these warnings. Take them to heart. And I tell you, as you do, you'll be used greatly of God. Galatians chapter 5, it tells us, walk in the Spirit, and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Trust in God's Spirit, and you will see incredible, incredible things that God will do in and through your tongue. Lord, I thank you for this time, and Lord, I'm blessed. I'm so blessed to be a Christian, that your grace has flooded my life, that you have filled me with your Spirit. God, I thank you for the warnings tonight about the tongue. I don't want to gloat in myself. We don't want to gloat, Lord, in the abilities of controlling our tongue. We want to praise you tonight for the work that you're doing in helping us control our tongue. Your power is at work in our lives. Wow, that's awesome. You're awesome, Lord. And I pray that you would help us this week. In Jesus' name, amen.